evening. It's February 27, 2020, and I call the study session of the Rowan Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:30 p.m. Dr. Mitchell, call roll.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
And David Malkin.
Present.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
None from staff.
Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the board study session of Thursday, February 27th, 2020?
I'll move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Flag salute and all in attendance will be led to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by our board member, Lynn Ebenkamp, for the second time.
Would everybody please stand? And let's pledge allegiance to our flag that represents the greatest country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Lynn.
Welcome.
Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments?
Yes.
This afternoon? Okay, for those that will be commenting, please note that the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by the vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow the board members to comment on non-agendized items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. First speaker is Mr. Roy Humphrey.
Okay, good afternoon, and as usual, thank you for all the good things you do, but we're going to start off with the bad news. Bad news is, yes, you failed the students and parents. Now for the good news, you are not alone. Essentially, all public school districts have the get a college degree mentality, when in fact 50% of the persons that start out never finish, and 20% drop out the first year. Isn't that great? And as a board member and president David Malkin notes that a large number of blue-collar jobs are out there, good-paying jobs that cannot be filled. The same is noted on all the business news networks. The answer, as you may recall, you all went to mainland China under the guise of learning how to teach our kids. Yes, is the same nation that has the home of Microsoft, that's United States of America, and Texas Instruments, Amazon, Silicon Valley, Tesla, and Costco. But you chose to go to mainland China, which is unlike American society as to be apples and oranges in the extreme. Misbehave in one of their classes, and guess what happens? Fact is, it simply doesn't happen. You could have gone to Taiwan, and which is infinitely more like America. And at the eighth grade, they test their students for abilities and desires. And guess what? If you if you're going to college curriculum, you go then. If not, they give you a trades pathway. Don't embarrass them. The next thing that happens is that
your mic is going in.
Excuse me. We don't want to miss out on that. Next, having been dragged, kicked, kicking and screaming in protest to the altar of trustee area voting, you have become the leader of this to be emulated by others, a la Hacienda La Puente. And, of course, Carlos Perez is assisting them in this endeavor. But something that is particularly painful is that their maps included little red stars noting where each of their board members presently reside and their date of, I use it, a termination or a term. Very professional and respectful. As a postscript, you all can go to my alma mater, Monrovia Unified School District, and see their website, and they have video recording of their board meetings that will literally bring tears to your eyes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. The next speaker will be Shay Lohman.
Good afternoon. Before I get started, I know this is a study session on facilities, and I want to say thank you to the people that work on our facilities, improve our facilities, and do the work around that. Just thank you for that. But for the matters that we're here for, it has come to my attention that those in this room feel insulted and disrespected because of our recent organizing campaign. That's unfortunate, but let me explain what can really make a professional feel insulted and disrespected. The fact that we are nearing 15 months of negotiations and are on 242 days without a contract, that is insulting and disrespectful. When a young teacher and a new mother is realizing she can't afford increases to the family health plan and asks me why her friend in Walnut pays $1,000 less for their plan, that is insulting and disrespectful. When we are told we can't have hard caps on secondary classes because it's too difficult to schedule, that is when educators feel insulted and disrespected. When you choose to make the highlight of your bargaining proposal a reduction in personal necessity days for teachers and an attack on our right to bargain, that is when we feel insulted and disrespected. When over 30 school districts in LA County pay their psychologists more than Roland, that's an insult. What is most insulting and disrespectful to the members that we represent is the fact that you have chosen to take this path against the union, and that none of you have come out and publicly supported teachers in this effort. The same people that worked extremely hard to get you elected with the full knowledge of this community. That is insulting and disrespectful. You have chosen to do this while at the same time allowing our superintendent to become one of the highest paid in the region. Do you believe our community feels disrespected when you have chosen to pay our superintendent over $84,000 more now than when she arrived a short time ago? That is more than the average household income in our community. You have chosen to accept those pay increases and then turn around and say that you can't afford to take care of the people that actually work directly with our students. That's insulting. So forgive me if I'm not feeling very empathetic about people feeling insulted and disrespected. We have real problems that are impacting real people, and you have to take action now to stop this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lohman. Next, we will receive a report on the Roland Unified School District's bond facilities projects. I will turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
And so Alex Flores will be leading us through this presentation, so I'm going to turn it over to him.
Sure. Board President Malcolm.
Thank you.
Board Vice President, board members, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, Cabinet, and audience, thank you for allowing me to make this bond and facilities presentation tonight. Tonight's presentation I'm sorry, there's something wrong with this. Excuse me.
Oh, it's not clicking.
Thank you.
I apologize. Since I oversee technology, this always happens to me. They never want me to use a clicker because I never give it back to them. So, again, thank you for allowing me to make this presentation. Tonight's presentation will primarily focus on the bond program, and we'll also provide an update on Prop 39 and the summer projects. This is a little bittersweet, not because I have technology problems here right now, but it's a bittersweet that I'll be presenting for the last time an update on the Roland High School project, because we're coming to an end of the project, a great project at that. The Roland High School project was a three-phase project that provided five new buildings and a new parking lot. We had a two-story classroom building with 22 classrooms, an ASB building, two-story classroom and library building, a building containing a performing arts center, kitchen, NPR, band, and choir. And also we had a three-classroom building. In phase one, we had, this is a picture of the 22 building classrooms. And phase two was the administration and library building. Our staff, students, and community members enter this amazing and reception area now at Roland High School. During phase two also, we have a new ASB building, and if you can see a new quad, and if you can see it in front of the ASB building, we have a raised platform stage area that our students can do some presentations during lunchtime and have lunch rallies and things like that. This is in phase three, the NPR. Here's a view from the parking lot and also from the interior of the quad. As you have night functions in our quad, there are some really nice backlit raiders, so you can really see, have some school pride. Also in phase three was a building that had three classrooms that had some easy access next to the student drop-off area. So where are we now? We hope to bring a notice of completion for the board approval in April. Although we had a fantastic Performing Arts Center grand opening that just highlighted the amazing talent that we have throughout the district of our students, we still have some minor acoustic sound testing that needs to be signed off by our sound engineer, and that's just the remaining piece that we have. Again, this is a picture of the interior of the Performing Arts Center. I'm really happy to share with you that I'm looking forward to March 13th, where Roland's theater program will have a comedy show. Also looking forward to April 6th, 11th, where the Roland Theater plan to have a theater performance. And also April 20th to 25th, where Nogales High School Theater Program is planning to have a performance. Again, these are all tentative dates that have been shared with us from the instructors. If those will change, I'm sure we'll give you some updates on that. But we're looking forward to see the great talent of our students in the state-of-the-art facilities. This project had a $54 million budget. We have committed $52.8 million. We still have approximately about $125 million in closeout fees. This will bring our project to approximately $53 million. So we anticipate to be approximately $1 million under budget. So we believe this is a very, very successful project. And success is evaluated in different areas. The best success that you can really evaluate is going to the campus of Roland High School and seeing the happy faces of our students, to seeing our students perform on that stage. That's success that doesn't have an expense to it. It's just seeing that and what they're doing. For our staff to have state-of-the-art facilities, that's a plus. So we're very happy to say it's very successful, but it can't be accomplished without some amazing people. First, I want to thank, as you can see, we have all the principals here that I've invited, or assistant principals, that I've invited for this bond project and future bond project. I want to thank the coordination and support and the work that Mitch did at Roland High School. It was several years of planning and work, weekly meetings with Ledesma Meyer and with Marcos, and because of this great communication they had in this work, they were able to have a very successful program for the kids' experience during construction. And that's something that says a lot, because our kids are going to really experience great facilities for the next 30 years, and that's what a bond program does. But during those years of construction, they made it manageable, and they made it a good experience for the kids that were there. So thank you for that, because that's what we're here for as far as students. So although the work is finished, there's times that we need to come back and we need to blend old buildings with new buildings. So there's still some work that we need to do that's outside of the bond project, which we'll be using deferred maintenance for most of these items. We still need to paint the gymnasium. Before we paint it, we need to correct some of the stucco work that's on top. There we have some water damage up there, and we need to replace that. We want to paint the lockers that are out in the exterior. We need to paint the trim of the old building so we can blend in the old and the new. And also one of the biggest things that we need to do that was removed from this project years ago was installing some shade structures in the quad, and that's been some of the recent work that staff has been underway with the help with the site. So this diagram here is from one of our architects. In the blue, you'll see these are proposed where we'll have new shade structures in the quad. This will really help the quad to be much more functional for our students. They're pretty much positioned in front of all the planters. And they're also not going to be the hardscape shade structures, but actually soft material to have like a 15-20-year warranty on the material. It's going to soften the quad quite a bit, but most importantly, it's going to really provide a nice place for our students to be able to enjoy their lunch, to be able to enjoy nutrition. And it's designed in a way where they'll have an unobstructed view to the little stage, so if they have any performances out there, or if they have any rallies, they'll be able to be underneath the shade structures also as they see them. So we're looking forward to that. And this is an item that we'll be bringing to the board for approval, for a contract approval, and also for a piggybackable bid approval in the March board meeting, with the work planned to be started and completed in the summer. Well, after you have one great successful program, what do? You start the next one. So we're at Oswald Academy. Are there any questions on Roland High School before I move forward? Yes.
I have one question. The shade structures, can you bring the picture back?
Mm-hmm. Can you go backwards?
They're little blue squares.
There. Yeah, those are blue squares, are shade structures?
Yes.
So are they, how does it look like? It's going to be a roof, a small like roof?
So I can tell you right now, the smaller ones are 16 by 16, mm-hmm. and the larger are 16 by 30. So they're very good size shade structures.
So students can sit?
Yes.
Under the shade?
So yes. And speaking with the principal, there's some plans to have benches underneath them. The smaller ones that are 14 by 14, excuse me, they're cantilevered. So there's a completely wide opening underneath where you can have different benches so people could sit there and eat or do what it, you know, to relax during nutrition or lunch. And the bigger 16 by 30 shade structures are four-posted, so you can come in and out easily also. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Will they be then canvas? You said soft.
Yeah, they're soft. They're canvas, and they're called sails, so they have some artistic look to them, so it softens it. One of the things that we've heard from different vendors as we researched this is that the hard shade structures, since they're so large and there's many, they keep heat in, and also they can be loud also because there's nowhere for the sound to travel. So it can be loud and it echoes back down. So this was something that was suggested to us, and we saw the material and we thought it was it was a good product to use.
Is the top removable?
It is removable, but it's not removable every night. It would be removable whenever you were to replace it.
Fitting is going to block the view for the if there's a performance.
No. They're pretty tall. Yeah.
I just have one comment. It was such a pleasure, and is a pleasure today, seeing that we finished this under budget. I remember other projects we had a lot of overrun cost-wise and whatnot, and I don't remember this project being the same way. So it was very good planning and very few change orders.
Well, it was also the patience of the board to allow us to have that time to plan before we go out to bid, to be able to make sure we have the best plans possible to move forward so that there wouldn't be changes. And that's the fine work of Ledesma Meyer and also of our staff, Marco. But again, it couldn't happen without the support of the board to be able to do this.
Well, thank you.
Just a comment to say thank you for all your hard work, because you went through the whole thing, everybody, including Mitch, and really successful. I love going on campus and seeing everything, and it turned out wonderful. So thank you for all your hard work.
And ditto, and love the Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
You mentioned you're going to paint the gymnasium. What about the mural on the wall that faces the parking lot?
So typically whenever there is like a mural that's there, we design it to paint around it, unless there's conversation with the principal where they have had conversations with different people or with the school to redo the mural, then it'll be painted. And it's my understanding that Mitch has had conversations with the class that offered it, that they will be redoing a new mural there that will have the existing class and the new class that's helping, so that we are very respectful to people who did that before. Sometimes a lot of community members and alumni get really
yes.
close attached to something they put up. So that's a communication process that the principal or principals would handle. But we facilitate it. But we would do paint around it. But in this case, the plan is to paint through it and have a new mural placed there.
Okay, will that go through a review process then, that new mural?
The principal will be working and sending us drawings, but usually it's a logo that's currently there with the school. And I believe the plan is the logo that they have currently.
Okay, I'm just wondering if there's anything we can do to preserve the image or something, you know, for prosperity. Because I know a lot of people on social media, they felt bad when they tore down part of the school. And taking the mural down, it's going to really raise some...
You know, as a principal, I had to paint over a mural once, and what we did was we actually made a photo picture of it, and then we put it inside of the hallway so that it's memorialized. And that's a recommendation that we would work with the high school with as well. Yeah. So there's always something there.
Yeah,
exactly. And that was what we did at Yabara. Okay. Because we had that theme. So and that's
okay. No, that'd be good. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
So to our new project, the Oswald project. You can move forward, please. Nope. We're back quite a bit. Okay. Just move one. Thank you. This project, and I really apologize about the technology, this is a five-phase project that will provide 80,000 square feet of new construction for our students and our staff. With the exception of the new building that was constructed with 2006 bond funds, the entire campus will be demolished and reconstructed. How exciting for our students and our community and our staff. So this is just two pictures that I wanted to share with you of new renderings after DSA have approved plans. To the left is a very familiar picture of the entrance, and the right hand is a picture of an overall view of the project that we will be building. The blue building on the far left-hand corner is an existing building that will remain, and that was done with 2006 bond funds. Everything else will be brand new. DSA plans were approved and stamped on January 15th. This was later than we had hoped, causing us to remove the demolition portion from the construction bid. This project is very, very time sensitive, and we need to move from one stage to the next during the summer months. By removing the demolition, the contractor will now be able to mobilize in late April, early May, and start construction the first week of June, as we have planned. This spring break, we will have 12 teachers move into the temporary housing. These teachers will remain there for the remainder of this year and next. And we plan to have most of the classrooms finished by 22-23 school year. The remaining kindergarten classroom and administration building will be completed July of 2023. Originally, we had hoped to have the NPR and kitchen completed by the start of the 23-24 school year, but we have put an emphasis with our construction team to make sure the kindergarten classrooms are completed by the start of the year, and our kitchen and our NPR will take a second seat so that we make sure that we have classrooms for all of our students as soon as possible. As we shared during a previous workshop, we wanted to share if any changes had occurred. Actually, we were committed to the board and to the community that any changes that occurred after DSA plans, we would share. So I'm sharing these tonight with you, and I have scheduled to go to Oswald on Monday to share with the staff this presentation also and changes and more pictures of the project. That was a lessons learned from a previous project in 2006 bond. We have a few issues with DSA plans regarding the fire lanes. We are really working with a very compressed plot of land with a lot of buildings and not a lot of acreage. And there are some fire truck requirements that need to be adhered to in our schools. So we needed to move a few trees. Actually, we needed to remove a few trees, some planters, relocate our basketball courts, and some existing planter boxes needed to be removed also to allow fire trucks to navigate on campus. We had to install additional site lighting. We had to remove an interior serving window in the NPR. The storefront windows at the administration building also had to be reduced from 11 feet to 9 feet. This was a district decision to replace a new marquee. Also, we removed the sandboxes in the kindergarten area. That's what we replaced with a swing set. And that was from teacher input. And the signage that you see throughout the whole campus that was vertical needed to be removed. Although we're still working with DSA and trying to get that signage put back into the plan, we think it's very aesthetically pleasing, and we really want to have good signage of our buildings, of what buildings they belong to. So I know I can say things, but I think pictures say more. So I have some assistants here. This is from the final design from DSA. This is the kindergarten area. As you can see from this picture over here that Russ is holding, the red areas had the sand pits. So that's what you saw. That's what staff saw before we went to DSA. Those were removed, and this is what it will look like now. That second yellow and blue play area is actually a swing set's going to go there, but they didn't have the renderings for that. On the next slide, you'll see some of the, where you see the yellow and blue play area in the middle of the campus. The basketball courts were there, actually, and the play area was somewhere else. We had to move the basketball courts so that the driveway, a large fire truck could come in and come into where those trees are at. So they had a 20-foot turning radius. And that's a compliance issue. Also, on the next slide, we'll show the design of the new marquee that we'll be placing up front. Thank you. Next. Any questions on the changes? You know, that was something that we were committed to the board to let them know of any changes. So these are the changes that of any appearance, so that what everyone thought they were going to get, they're going to get.
Just a question. On the marquee, the last slide, is the picture up there just a sample? The school will put up what they want?
No, the picture of that is a sample that goes with the architect design. The actual monitor of it is probably just proportional. It'll be a little bigger, the screenage. Okay. It looks a little, you know, okay. Narrow.
You said one building is not going to be taken down. Is that what the multipurpose room is now, that building, or which building?
The building in the back where there is the upper grades.
Oh, okay, got it. That's really new. Yeah. I got it. Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure, clarify. Thank you.
Any other questions? On the trees that are being removed, that's always a sensitive issue in the community. How many trees, and are there any significant trees there?
There are some significant, there's trees throughout the whole campus,
right,
that are going to be removed because we're replacing them with new trees. There is one tree that the site administration has asked that we work with the family that donated the tree, since that tree was a tree that was in memory of a staff member's beloved mother. So we've already spoken to Russ Hall, and there's no guarantees, and we told them there's no guarantees, but we're going to try to preserve that tree so that we can still use it in the project. But we have been very, very open and honest with there is no guarantees. It's a 50-50 chance that some trees that are uprooted, especially because of the size, that they will live. And we do have that disclaimer. We have every intent. We hope we can use it. But it's only one tree or two trees, I believe, of significance that were trees in the memory of somebody.
Is there a plaque that we can put in its place in case if it doesn't work?
Yeah, there's definitely something, and I'm seeing Jason Ray nod, that we'll definitely do something like that.
Yeah, yeah, planting new trees with a plaque, yeah, or something.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just a comment. Thank you for asking the teachers for their input. That's so important, and then they're ready, like the sandboxes, like, really nice that you did that. Okay, that's it.
It helps I'm married to a kindergarten teacher, so, you know.
You started a new construction of the parking lot, and is there a space for the teachers or the parents to park the cars?
Well, the last portion of this phase is the parking lot, mm-hmm, just like we did with Roland High School. I don't know if there's any identified spaces for staff, although this new parking lot is going to be about 50 or 60 more parking spaces. I can get back to you. There's about 100 to 90 spots. It is larger because that was one of the in the community and also teacher input that they wanted more spaces.
Otherwise, they have to park the street. They will be a long walk.
Yeah. This will be a larger parking lot, and it's also a larger parking lot to help us also with the flow of traffic for drop off, because to help alleviate the congestion, we spent a lot of time, and this project was almost delayed some about 6 months because of the parking lot issues and getting input from a consultant that we hired in addition to give us what would be best to help with that in the area of the congestion.
Any other questions? Hey, thank you.
From time to time, I get questions regarding the difference between a contractor and professional services regarding the project. And several times, we are bringing board items like that. So I wanted to just talk briefly about that today. The general contractor, they bid on the job. They negotiate contracts with their own subcontractors. They establish internal project budgets linked to the project schedule. They're responsible for ordering buildings and building material. They have a detailed understanding of the blueprints, so as they're examining the work of their subcontractors. They oversee all of their all the works being completed in the construction, carpentry, electrical, plumbing, and painting. And they ensure all work is completed properly on time and according to approved project drawings and by specification. So that's what the general contract and that's what the bulk of a project goes to. But we also have professional services. And these professional services are very important to make sure we get what we need to get. These professional services are not hired by the contract, but they're hired by the district. Because it's always important to have a checks and balances. If the contractor was hiring these individuals, then there could be a claim of collusion. So we hire these separately, and they have no affiliation with the contractor. And that's one of the things that it really ensures that we have some checks and balances along with our construction manager, who is another set of eyes that's looking at the project too. So one of the more expensive professional services that was required also is a DSA inspector. A DSA inspector inspects all portions of the construction from compliance and for requirements as the DSA approved plans construction. We have an environmental and abatement. They research, design, and plan or perform engineering duties in the prevention, control, and remediation of environmental hazard materials. We also have a separate environmental abatement company that we hire that does the testing. So we have someone who does the work, and we have a different company that does the testing just to make sure that the work was done correctly when it comes to the abatement. We have material testing or destructive testing is required to ensure products and their component parts can perform as intended. Some of the materials that are tested are the rebar, the concrete, and our weldings. We have people come and check the weldings to make sure they're properly done. For stormwater prevention, we have an inspector which will document and outline on how the construction project will minimize stormwater pollution. And we have a geotechnical engineer that assists in the foundation design, the slopes, slope design. If there's any, you have to analyze for seismic activity and for soil testing. So those are some of the professional services that we have. But I just wanted to share about those. These are also all that require a bid process or an RFP, and which we're undergoing. And it's a tremendous amount of work that's supervised by Rosanna McLeod and the purchasing department to make sure that everyone complies with everything in the bid process and that we actually examine every company and we actually vet them out to make sure that they can do the work that is prescribed by checking the references also. So it's a large, large undertaking by our director, and she does a wonderful job with it. So the Oswald Academy, if you've driven by, there's the first work, the first visual work is on campus has taken place with the interim housing that we'll need for the duration of this project. Interim housing for this project began during winter break with the landing of 6 portables. Each portable contains 2 classrooms. We are wrapping up work and plan for students and staff to use the portables when school resumes after spring break. This is not a great picture, but a picture of the portables and the new asphalt for interim housing. And our next picture is it's in the interior of the classroom, and there's still some work that needs to be done there. Our technology department still needs to install projectors and screens. Rosanna is also coordinating the move over spring break of all the furniture that's needed. That will take place on a Saturday and Sunday, the first Saturday and Sunday of spring break. Again, a project like this can only take place with the cooperation of great people behind the scenes. And again, our maintenance and operations department, our technology department, our purchasing department, they make this happen. They make this happen when no one's looking. We want to make sure our students have state-of-the-art classrooms with all the technology, everything that's needed, and we'll make sure that happens. One of the things also, you need a power, and it might be a simple picture, but sometimes one of the biggest things that we have is running enough power to make sure we have for Terry portables, because at one point we're going to have 12 extra portables, and then we still have a classroom. So until we take down those other ones, we need to make sure we account for that with additional power. So if you have any questions on Oswald, just I know it went quickly with it, and we're just in the undertaking of it. For the next few years, you'll be hearing about it. I know Jason has been very, very helpful with communicating with staff, and I want to take this time to thank him for everything that he's done with this project and working with Ledesma Mara and Marcos for the transition, and also working with Rosanna. Leadership is so important at the site to make these projects, as we learned with Roland High School. And Jason does have Mitch on speed dial to make sure he can ask him for assistance and for help. And I'm sure he will be calling you, Mitch.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Done?
I wanted to say, what is the district doing to help the teachers move over? Like all of their things and everything, you know, they're going to have to change. And so I understand the desks and stuff. What about their educational stuff that they need?
Through the community, I personally spoke to all the teachers along with Jason. We went classroom to classroom to ask them how they would want to move, because not one size fits all. Some want to do it over in the afternoon. Some want to do it on Saturday. Per contract, they receive compensation for the move. But all that we ask them to do is to box them and label. We'll do the rest. Rosanna is coordinating a mover to come and move everybody so everything can be moved. Their personal equipment also. We don't want anyone injured. We want to make this transition as much as possible, as easy as possible. You know, it's a lot to ask for a teacher to break down and set up. And we appreciate the timing of it in spring break. It helps. But it's a little easier during the summer months. But we try to make it as easy as possible. But with that being said, sometime our teachers are in a classroom for several years, and it's time that we're moving and everything's going. So it's sometimes going through memory lane, no, some of the great students they've had.
Thank you for getting their input. Okay, thank you.
At the very beginning, when you were at the talking and planning stages, there was a lot of uneasiness with the parents, with the teachers, and I just wanted to know how that process has worked its way out. How is it now?
Well, I believe it's the commitment that we had going and sharing has been well received. There's always excitement when you're going to be moving and the uncertainty. But so far, the staff has been just amazing and has been really cautiously optimistic. I think they appreciate, and Jason could correct me on this, but they appreciate that we've provided plans, we provided input, we've given them information, and we're continuing to do it. We're committed to go at least 3 times a year to provide updates, and we do it. We do struggle with the community. We had a community meeting recently where we only had 2 or 3 people attend. The staff is great because we kind of hijack one of their staff meetings on a Monday, and we have a captured audience. But parents and some of the we try to piggyback on a parent night and we get some input. But for the community, we're still working with that. We still haven't got a great amount of participation. But I'm sure as the program goes, there'll be more opportunities for us to talk.
Do you think it would be helpful to put like periodic PowerPoints on the website for the school so parents could?
Yes, actually, I was working with Gina because I just have received about 35 new pictures of the project based on the DSA plans. So we're actually trying to put it into a link so we can put it up on the website so people can see what they're going to be getting. Good. Yeah. And Gina's been very helpful with that.
What kind of construction noise level are you expecting? Since there are some new buildings, are we expecting?
That's a great question, because what really it will be loud at times, and one of the things that we have that's going against us is that it's such a compact piece of land that we're constructing. This has been described by some people that have come to bid on the project and to talk about this project. It's been described as a LA, like a high-rise LA type of building project, because there's really no landing spaces to actually put additional steel, additional supplies. The coordination that Ledesma Mara and Marcos is going to have to do with this is going to be amazing, because when we're constructing, we're not going to have the luxury to store things there. They're going to have to pretty much drop them off the truck, mm-hmm. and they're going to go up because there's no place for them to go. Mm-hmm. So because of that, and because of the proximity of the classrooms, it'll maybe appear to be louder. But we'll try to be respectful as much as possible. And Jason's working with us also of all the testing dates or any dates that the school has that requires, like, no noise. We'll work around those. And Ledesma Mara has always done that in other projects with our schools.
Are the portable classrooms, are they soundproof? Are they pretty good? Keep the noise from outside?
Well, the positioning of these portables are closest to the fence line. It's just a regular portable. There's no special soundproofing with it, but it's positioned a little further. I think there's nothing special with that.
Anybody else? On the portables, are we leasing those or?
Yes, we're leasing them. And as we go through the project, and maybe we don't need as many, we will try to end the lease so that we can save funds and also have more area for our students to have. Okay. So we have some remaining bond projects that some principals behind you are very eager to hear about. So Nogales High School. Nogales High School... and these are major bond projects. There's still other bond projects. I want to make sure I share that. The Nogales High School, there are two separate phases two separate projects that are still scheduled. One dealt with a pool and locker room modernization, and the second was with a new band and choir room, along with new classrooms to replace Building F. So this is a picture of the current boys' locker room. The next one is girls' locker room, just so you can physically see where it's at. The pool where some of our board was today. Our band and choir room. And Building F. It's a vacant Building F. Right now, no students are using it, have not used it for a few years. So... for Nogales High School, our recommendation is to change the scope of the work to include all the work together. By having this project as one, we will not be landlocked. When we were doing the band and the choir, there were some concerns that it wasn't big enough, but there were some constraints that we had because, well, you have a pool there, you have a locker there. So at that time with research, we felt it was best to put them all together so you have a blank canvas where you can really build what is needed for our staff and for our students. So also by doing this, the economy of scale, we have potential savings also by putting them together, by having one DSA project number and all the required professional services and construction management. We would have one program, and that could be some savings for us, so we can actually in turn put that into more for our students and for our staff and our community. And per the facility master plan, the classrooms in Building F, we have enough classrooms now for our students. So replacing those classrooms that in Building F looks like no longer needs to be done. So that would open up that area for the creative minds of the staff and for the students to see what could go there instead. There's different ideas of having a different quad there, because if you look at Nogales High School, it's pretty thin between the new construction of the building and the old buildings. That would be an opened-up area where you could have maybe an ASB room at the end, or a room that could have maybe some counselors, and have a stage where you could have some open spaces with some shade structures so that students could be there. So there's different thoughts and there's different ideas there, but there's more possibilities. And we could add a couple extra classrooms if needed on the second floor of a new locker and boys and girls locker room. So those are the recommendations that we have. But the most the thing is we have a tentative timeline. Again, we're following the pattern of as we start, we begin. Well, in this case here, we might be beginning in the last year of the Oswald project if things go well. So we want to plan starting next year in September. And we want to submit to DSA and get a DSA-approved plans the following year and also go through the bid process with the hope that we could start this project in December of 2022. And that's our goal for Nogales High School. Ibarra Academy, the original scope was to replace the boys and girls locker room. But if I can share some pictures, we also have some brown portables. They're called brownies. So there's around six different portables. So our scope now for this work would be to build a two-story building that includes locker rooms and six classrooms to replace the six portables. Our tentative timeline again here is to begin planning September of 2023 and submit plans by the end of 23-24 school year. And we would hope to begin construction the summer of 2025. This would be probably in the middle of the Nogales project construction. So we would have, again, two projects going at one time. Roland Elementary, we have vacant kindergarten classrooms that would be, the original scope was to replace. And this is a picture of those, which back up to the parking lot in the front of the school. And in the back, by the other kindergarten classroom, are some of the temporary kindergarten classrooms. This is also the playground area next to the kindergarten room that's used by the lower grades. So our new proposed scope would be to demolish the vacant building and provide relief with additional parking at that location and also reconfigure the playground so it'd be more functional. That's been a request from the staff and from the principal of the school of looking to redesign that area. And that would be phase one. We would want to phase this so that we could do that sooner. Right now, we're aggressively working. Staff is aggressively working to see if we can secure some possible estimates to go out to bid to demolish that building this summer. And the second phase would be to build two kindergarten classrooms along with a larger classroom to really support our outstanding music program, as we always have a location for our music teachers to use, a bigger classroom where they would be able to use it also. So that would be the plans for Roland Elementary. And again, this phase one, we would there's a timeline as soon as this summer. It's aggressive and it's tentative. I forgot to put the tentative up there. Uh-ohs. That's what we're hoping for, but sometimes we have to work within the constraints of who's out to be able to do work. But the second phase of the classrooms, we would want to piggyback that with the Ibarra work. So we would want to do two schools at one time. Even though there'd be two different DSA numbers, we feel that it's basically one building at each of the sites. We believe we would have the capacity to be able to manage both of those, because we don't want to put one school later than the other. So we would want to do it as soon as possible together. So we would run those concurrently. Any questions on some of these tentative timelines and some of this other work?
I have a question. On number 39, page 39, or I don't know if it's slide 39, but page 39, when you talked about being flexible with what you want to do at Nogales High School. Now, but you would have to decide that before you send the plans to DSA, because
absolutely.
Once you send them, you can't be flexible, right?
Oh, absolutely. So if you look at the September 2020, which basically next year, that whole year of planning, it's actually close to 15 months of planning. That planning is getting input from our stakeholders of what would be best, what would we need, how could we enhance the experience of our students at our school. That's what that happens. And once those ideas become into plans, once they get on a diagram, and then we go through the vetting process of that and then take it to DSA. But, yes, that is early in the process.
Anybody else?
Okay. For the new construction of the locker rooms and the restrooms, will we consider to comply the new gender identity laws, the new laws of health?
We have to comply to all those laws, and those would be part of the laws that we would comply to. We comply to them now. And that's something that is also checked with DSA plans also as well.
Right. What is the status of those laws? Will we have to do it, or how is they related to the construction?
Well, it's related to construction in that all plans are reviewed to ensure that they are complying with all the laws that are mandated that we follow.
Current law.
Yes, current law.
I just want to say that last year, we had classified employee shadowing. I cleaned that pool at Nogales High School and cleaned the filters out, and that is one jerry-rigged system in there to keep it going. It really needs a replacement.
Well, we have great staff members that keep us going for our students.
Amazing. So I'd be anxious to see a new pool and facilities there at Nogales for that.
And we all look forward to that. If I could just, any more questions? I want to briefly touch upon a couple other items that are not bond related. I know one of the big interests in the commitment for the board was a large expense to provide air conditioning for our schools in the NPR rooms and in our high schools. So I wanted to give you an update on this project. So four of the six NPRs have functional air conditioning. The two remaining, Hurley and Roland L, have begun, and this will be completed within 45 days. The two sites were delayed since DSA would not approve 8 sites at one time, and we needed to have them finished. So, and both gyms are also operational. So this is Alvarado. We're trying to get some pictures of some students with smiling faces, but it's just so you know that this is where the air conditioner is located, and some of the back-end work in Santana is where it's located. Blandford, as you can see, our music program is enjoying an air-conditioned NPR there. In Northam, our students are enjoying some lunch here in a cooler area. And then Nogales and Roland High School. One of the things that we experienced with Nogales and Roland High School is when we did the construction for the air conditioning is that both roofs need to be replaced. So we've estimated that to be $1 million, which would come from our restricted ending balance under deferred maintenance. And we plan to get that go out to bid and to be able to do this project hopefully this summer for that.
On the Nogales High School one, is that the AC on the top of the roof? I thought there was talk about putting it down and ducting.
There was talk about doing it down, but they were able to actually put them on top. And it passed all the inspections for that was needed. The one thing that we're doing at both of the schools, so both of the schools have the big fans. So right now we are working with the fan company to see how we can tie in our EMS system. Our EMS system controls the temperature remotely. We're trying to work so they're fused in together so that the fans work also along with the air conditioning. So we can set the air conditioning just a little higher to save costs on energy and still have the effect of a cooler gymnasium.
I have a question. On one of the photos here under the Prop 39, you talked about the AC at Santana. Can you just refresh us, our memories on Santana? Did we finish everything that we were going to do over there? That's what I thought. Something was missing from this presentation.
No, Santana has not. We were fortunate when ROP was no longer part of ROP, we had a lot of portables there. So we worked with the site administrator, and he requested a bank of portables, and we were able to use those portables for some of the teachers, and he was able to rearrange some programs there to have some teachers go into those so they had more space. And he was making one of the classrooms into like a staff lounge. But we have not done any infrastructure. We have not done any of those back-end things. And we do have set aside around $5 million for Santana. With the facilities master plan, we're looking at analyzing where's the best location for Santana and for our alternative ed, being able to place them all in one location. So we'll have further conversations with that very soon.
Yeah, those students really take pride in their campus. You know, anytime that I've texted you on a weekend to say, hey, there's graffiti, it wasn't at Santana. It was usually at on the wall by Hollingsworth or by one of the other schools by Santana, but not on Santana. And those students, I just really think that they deserve to have some classrooms that look like high school classrooms and other facilities that really make them feel like they're on a high school campus.
We hope to be able to make a recommendation shortly to the board regarding alternative ed program. And I'm due back to speak to the staff also at Santana to give them an update also, as I provided an update to them last year, sharing that the facility master plan would drive some decisions on where we go.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So since we have a little extra time, we want to provide you a little brief update on some summer projects. Again, some of these summer projects will be funded through our deferred maintenance with our restricted ending balance that we have. And one of if you've seen the past few years, every year we have been very aggressive in replacing the playgrounds, the blacktops at all of our schools. And once again, This summer, Marcos will be leading the charge again with the paving projects at Villa Corta and Yorbita. Along with that, we've been painting about three schools every year, too, under the direction of Chris Ferraro, our maintenance director. And this summer, we have planned to paint Alvarado, Villa Corta, and Hollingsworth. One of the other projects that we'll be looking at is the Yorbita catwalk. You know, after several conversations with the county and learning that once funding from the county would be approved, which technically it still has not been approved, improvements for the catwalk would not begin for 24 months. So we would like to proceed this summer to redo the catwalk with new fencing, asphalt path for our students and our community to use. It has gone for several years without any improvements, and we want to move forward with the improvements. Also, one of the concerns that staff has brought up there has been people using the catwalk and sleeping there, and then some of our kindergartens and some of our students seeing some people first thing in the morning. There was no assurance that could continue if we were to give the county the catwalk. So we intend to install two gates at the ends of each to make it a secure catwalk during the off hours of school of operation, to make sure that safety concern that staff has brought forth, we move forward with it. There'll be more discussions with it once we do make the improvements. We can still have conversations with the county. But at this time, we want our recommendation is to move forward, and we plan to have that as one of our projects this summer. And also, we have another bid we're going out for. We also want to do the perimeter fencing at Roland High School this summer as well. And those are some of the projects that, some of the bigger projects that we have, and I'll take any questions at this time.
This has to do with your Yorba catwalk. The worst thing we want for our schools is for people sleeping in that catwalk. And if the county can't control it, and it's our, you know, then we have to make a decision for our schools, what's best for our students and our teachers. So I agree with the decision you've talked about today. I know it hasn't been finally decided, but I agree with that.
Well, with conversations with them, they were not going to install gates. So that's the only way in the off hours that we can secure that. So that's why we want to move forward with that, with this project.
Well, and they have enough trouble downtown. I don't know how long people can stay there before they have to leave. Yeah. You know, that to me would be...
Well, we're very fortunate with the investment of the board of having 24/7 coverage with our district safety, that we have personnel that will be able to open and close this so that it can still be used for our students as they come and go to school. Again, we would like to use those, lock those gates at the hours of the park so that people want to take advantage of the park and walk through. They would still have the gate. They would still have access.
When you mentioned fencing on Roland High, the pony wall along Otterbane in the front of the school, is there anything going to be done with that to beautify it or to blend it in to the new school?
Yeah, we haven't looked at that complete area. We're looking at putting some, possibly putting like a topping on it.
Yeah,
but it's also a structure retaining wall also.
Yeah.
So we can't minimize or the integrity of it by doing too much work with it.
Just painting and putting a topping on it would make a big difference.
We will take a look at that and bring a recommendation to the board. Thank you for that recommendation.
Any other questions?
I have one question. For Oswald, the number of classrooms before and before construction and after construction are the same? Same number of classrooms?
I'm sorry.
No, for Oswald.
Well, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
The number of classrooms before construction and after construction are the same numbers?
I will have to get that for you. I think we're...
I'm thinking,
top of my head, I think we're going from 37 to 41, but I want to provide that information in a Friday memo.
Yeah, my question is, are we considering reduce of enrollment class number of students, expanding more or less, and what?
Yes, we are still moving forward with that proposal that we had when we at a previous facilities meeting, that we want to bring down the enrollment so that we could have a comfortable school, because again, we are landlocked there and it's a very small portion of land that you don't want to build additional classrooms. You want to make it so the students have, they're having a great experience now, but we want them to continue having a wonderful experience.
Yeah, but because this building lasts 50 years, maybe more, so we have to plan 50 years, and then we need to consider in the future, are we going to close some schools and convert them? And for all of them, can we need to consider the size and the...
Absolutely. We take that consideration. We know that bond funds are paid over 30 years, and we want to make sure that these buildings are going to be there more than 30 years.
Okay, I just want to thank you and Desmar and Marcos, not just for tonight, but your work with the CBOC, Citizens Bond Oversight Committee, and all of their work in keeping these projects going. It's really been a great team effort. So thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to the discussion items. We have one, which is a contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Danny Ryan Precision Contracting Incorporated, RFP bid number 2019/20, R15-I. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the contract between the Roland Unified School District and Danny Ryan Precision Contracting Incorporated, DBA Precision Contracting, Inc.?
I'll move.
Second.
Any discussion? I just have one. I understand that they were the only bidder on this contract.
Yes, they're the only ones that had a bid that qualified. We had 9 contractors that attended the mandatory job walk. 4 submitted their pre-qualification packets too late. 2 did not respond. 1 did not have the required C-21 contractor's license that the bid is required for the project. And 1 completed all requirements but decided to not bid. So that left us with 1 qualified applicant that had all the requirements that were submitted.
And they had good referrals?
They had excellent referrals, and that's what Rosanna did, because some of the work was outside of the area, and she spoke to representatives from some different school districts, which had very good and positive remarks.
Okay. Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We will now recess to closed session at 5:42. Thank you very much.
Okay, the mic is on.
Good evening. We have returned from closed session at 7:14. There is no closed session report tonight. Can I have a motion and a second to adjourn the board study session at the Rowland Unified School District Board of Education?
I make a motion. I'll second.
All those in favor? I mean, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Meeting adjourned at 7:14. 14.